On the Sunday after Easter, a little more than a month ago, my message was about Jesus mysteriously disappearing from the tomb, leaving his followers befuddled and afraid until he reappeared that same evening. Today, we celebrate Ascension Sunday. Jesus has been with his followers an additional 40 days. But suddenly, once again, Jesus vanishes from sight. The good news is, this time his disciples are allowed to watch him in the very act of rising out of sight on his way to heaven. I won't say his second departure was less mysterious than the first. I mean, a body rising up and being carried away in a cloud is mind-boggling mystery no matter what. But at least they knew he was leaving, and they had some idea where he was going. The bad news is, this time Jesus didn't make a quick trip to heaven and come right back. This time, their Lord and teacher was gone, and they never saw him again. Not in this world. The ascension of Jesus Christ from earth into heaven strikes me as kind of a split-level scene. Up in the penthouse, all the hosts of heaven are rejoicing. The royal party is in full swing as Jesus comes home to his Father to be glorified. Meanwhile, down on the ground floor stand the loyal followers who all of a sudden can't follow. I get a chuckle out of the men in white who demand to know why they're standing there looking up, as if gaping toward heaven weren't the obvious thing to do when your teacher is bodily rising up into the clouds. The hymns and prayers listed for Ascension Day in the Methodist Book of Worship are all about the penthouse. The glory, the kingship, the crown. Paul describes how God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, put all things under his feet, etc., etc., etc. And all of that rightfully belongs to Jesus Christ. The triumphant return of the Holy Son of God is a good and joyful thing to celebrate on Ascension Day. But as you probably figured out from our prayers and songs, today I'm looking at the ones who were left behind at ground level. Because in a way, that's where you and I are. When Jesus left, where did that leave the apostles? And by extension, where does that leave us? Have we all been abandoned by an absentee Lord? Did the apostles cry themselves to sleep or rail against God for snatching Jesus away? No. Our reading says immediately after Jesus was carried up to heaven, they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem, which is what Jesus had instructed them to do. And how did they do it? With great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. Now, does that mean that they didn't miss Jesus and mourn the loss of his physical presence? I doubt it. Those feelings would be natural. But their awe at the sight of the ascension overcame their sadness. The big picture was what they were looking at. It was another gift of knowing, like I talked about last time I gave the message, confirmation of the divine power and supremacy of Jesus Christ. So they did have joy. And we have hope, which confidently rests on three promises. The first was mentioned by that pair of men in white robes. They said, "This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Personally, I'm not particular about whether he'll come back the same way or a different way, or when he'll come back. As Jesus said in today's reading from Acts, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. And I'm good with that. The important thing is, Jesus Christ will come back. And in the meantime, we have the second promise. Jesus still abides with us in spirit. Last week, Barbara talked about the comforting presence of the Holy Spirit, and I expect that'll be the focus next week, being Pentecost Sunday. So I won't dwell on it now, except to say that I find that a hugely reassuring gift. We have the Holy Spirit. We are not left orphaned and forlorn, as Tony sang. We have a forever Lord who cares about us, and wants to work in the world through us. Speaking of forever, we have the third promise, which isn't mentioned directly in today's readings, but it appears many times in other passages. An eternal home in heaven with Jesus, with our Creator God, is waiting for believers. When our time comes to depart this ground-level existence, we're invited to be part of the perpetual celebration in the penthouse, worshiping Jesus and rejoicing with all the angels and saints. Maybe we won't be greeted with a party involving massive quantities of snacks and soda like Muchacha was picturing, but we will enjoy a happy reunion with those of the family of God who have gone before. These promises aren't any big new revelation, but it seems important to be reminded that the goodbye of Ascension Sunday comes with a future hello. Three of them. Jesus will gather us to himself in heaven. So be comforted by that when loved ones leave us behind, and find hope in that promise when we ponder our own turn to leave life on the ground floor. When we don't know which way to turn and the world seems like it's on a fast train to perdition, remember, we do not have a negligent absentee Lord. We have his Holy Spirit now with us. And we have the promise that Jesus will come again to straighten things out once and for all at the time determined by God. Let's take heart and follow the example of the apostles. Worship Jesus, obey his commands with great joy, and bless God continually. To get started with all that, please prepare your tithes and offerings, and let's sing a good rousing song of praise along with the party in the penthouse. Crown him with many crowns.